Blog Talk Radio.
יברכך אדוני וישמרך. יאר אדוני פניו אליך ויחונך. יישא אדוני פניו אליך וישם לך שלום.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Shalom, shalom. This is Olive Branch Ministries. It's 11:30, and it's time for Late Night in the Word. And we say,
shalom, shalom. Welcome, Blog Talk Radio and Olive Branch Ministry website and people from the internet, far and wide.
Hallelujah.
Welcome to Late Night in the Word.
Late Night in the Word. We're in Acworth, Georgia. The name of our ministry is Olive Branch Ministries. If you're listening via Blog Talk Radio, we thank you for tuning in.
We're now the people in the blue shirts.
People in the blue shirts. Everybody got new shirts today that have Olive Branch Ministries on them. We have a phone number, 631-533-4099. That's 631-533-4099. And we want to just encourage you tonight that today is a day, a new day for God's mercy. And he's doing a lot of great things in the earth. We've had salvations today and interactions with people in other states doing ministry in other countries. And the confirmations and the anointing that God is pouring out on people and pouring out upon us as we go out in ministry is really astounding. The accuracy of his words towards people have been really amazing to hear and watch the deliverance that he's doing. And I have to say that's because the strength of the teaching is bringing about a change and a shift in how people operate, and which is the intention of the scriptures, is to open up the understanding for a person to understand the kingdom of God and how God functions, what his promises allow for us, what they establish, what they are really opening up and bringing us into. And it's one of the things we've been discussing on our Thursday night program. Is the reality of salvation. I think we have a somewhat warped view of salvation. We've stuck it into this category, a very tight box, and that tight box is I got saved when I met Jesus, and salvation is something that gets me a blessing in the end, not a new life. And if you're interested in studying the scriptures, and you do study the scriptures, then when you read Paul and you read Peter and you read Jesus and you understand what he's really saying, you can't get away from the reality that all of them are opening up a door and showing forth a brand new life. Peter and Jesus. We were looking at this passage this last week in John 21, and Jesus is going after Peter after seeing him in the boat all night, wrestling with the nets. It's the first time Peter's been back in the boat, according to the Gospels, since the day he called him to be a disciple. And Peter had gone back to what was common for his life. And I think a lot of believers today are going back to the commonness of their old life. They're forsaking the dramatic movement of grace through the Holy Spirit and allowing themselves to be inserted back into the world. And I think Peter was looking for something to encourage himself with. So he thought, if I go work, then I'll have something at least that I haven't failed in, because I know I'm good at fishing. Jesus is standing there and he pulls him in close and he says, "Do you love me?" And Peter says, "Yes, I love you." And Jesus says, "Well, feed my sheep." And we have missed a lot of times what this means. But I think in many ways this is about salvation. It's the Hebrew word yeshah. And this salvation is a change. It's a transformation. It's a regeneration from one state to another. And from the moment Peter met Jesus, that was the end of his former life. And it takes a while for Peter to understand the fullness, but by the time Acts chapter 2 comes, Peter is moving in something totally different than what he had ever lived in. His shadow is healing people. He was speaking in tongues of other nations. 3,000 people got saved the very first moment in Acts chapter 2. Now, this is an astounding thing, and I want you to hear it, because this is what I hear the Holy Spirit speaking through our pastor on a constant and consistent basis. And what he's saying, and I want to go to 1 Corinthians 15, and this is something can you read 1 Corinthians 15, 47 and 49?
The first man is of the earth, earthly. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As the earthly, such are they also that are earthly, and as the heavenly, such are also they that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly.
There is only one way that this takes place, and that's if we go through a number of different scriptures that we have gone through. One is Romans chapter 6. And keep your finger in 1 Corinthians 15. And I don't know how to fully teach this. I'm still learning it myself. I have a lot of questions that pastor has been teaching on. There's so much here. And I think a lot of what we have learned in the traditional churches has put this reality into a prison. And the devil has kept most believers from ever functioning in the fullness of the second Adam, the one who is called Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, it was Romans 6, starting in verse 3. Go ahead and start there.
Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death.
Now, just stop there for a second. Do you actually believe that? Do you understand it? Because this is theology in so many people. It's just theology. It's a fact. I don't know. Pastor uses this word a lot. It's called abstract. And I have had to be confronted with that in myself. There's a lot of things that we say as believers that we're throwing out there as theological terms that we've heard from pastors over and over and over and over, and we've acknowledged that they exist, and we say, yeah, that's true. But there is something that came up this last week, It's called the character, the standards of salvation. And it's really the character of Jesus as he exhibits his Father's character. In order to look at where we're going, you have to be confronted with the reality of this verse, not just a truth in a book somewhere. This is a reality, and it's a very difficult one, in my estimation, for many people to comprehend and understand. When Jesus died on the cross, most of us believe and understand that when he died for the sins of the whole world. But Paul in Romans 6 is saying, when Jesus died on the cross, he not only died for the sins of the whole world, but every single person died with him on that cross. Continue to read there, Avery, verse 4.
Romans, I changed the chapter there. 6 verse 4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life.
Okay, honestly say in the end of this verse, if I've baptized into his death, if I went to the cross with him, if I died, and when he went in the grave, I went in the grave, when he went into Hades, I was in Hades, and we all know that in the fullness of the expanse of time, every single person already lived and died, and everyone that was a sinner, and every one of us has been a sinner, all of us went to hell, and the only ones that are going to come out of that grave are the ones that have the seal of the blood of the Holy of Jesus Christ on them.
The first resurrection, that is true.
Correct. Now, most of us, unfortunately, continue to read this, and we don't understand this one thing, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, and the glory of the Father is the promises fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So the Father has this momentum of glory through his Son's work, and he brings his Son out of the grave. This last phrase, even so, we also should walk. Now, I don't know too many people describing the heavenly life after this life as the walk in a newness of life. Paul is referencing now.
Yes, and just because it's abstract to us does not take away our responsibility to do it.
Or know it. We are absolutely required to know this.
And so I know from a Tuesday night message from several months ago, Pastor made this statement. He said, no one's going to have any excuse because it was in God's word.
You're not going to have, none of us. And you're not going to be able to blame it on a pastor, though I believe pastors are going to be held accountable for the things they didn't teach and didn't. And I'm not even going to go teach. I'm going to say it beyond, for the things that they were unwilling to exhibit with their own life as they taught. The greater instruction of a pastor is not the ability to stand behind a pulpit and, you know, exhume truth.
Yeah, they have that theological term. It's a good term, expository, which means a pastor's gift to explain the scriptures. And the best way to be able to truly explain what God's saying in the scriptures is walking it out and telling the disciples what you're learning as a disciple in Jesus, walking it out.
Amen. So if I read this and it says, I have the newness of life, how can I teach newness of life if I don't possess newness of life?
Yes, so we have to pursue it. It's been given to us. God's given it to us and said, it's yours. I've given it to you. And he's saying, look at it and start to walk this. And
what would you say is verse 5? Read verse 5.
For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall all be also in the likeness of his resurrection.
Now, this is an important statement, this resurrection, because there's something taking place that we don't look at very often, and it's two realms. And the first is the pre-resurrection reality of Jesus and the universe and the world and the conditions of the cultures. And then there's the post-resurrection reality of Jesus and the universe and the world and the cultures. and the nation of Israel and the believing community.
I like it when we see it in the gospel with Jesus when he went to raise Lazarus up. He demonstrated that it's not even locked into a dispensation. He said, I am the resurrection and the life.
Well, but what I'm trying to say is that Paul is trying to help a group of people, and they are very much exactly like us.
Yes.
And we are very much exactly like them, and we are missing what Paul is trying to establish for them. If you go back to 1 Corinthians 15 and we read that set of verses, it 47 through 49.
Okay.
Says the first man is of the earth. Stop right there. And what does it mean to be a person of the earth? What does it mean to be earthly minded? He's speaking to Corinthians. And if you've read Corinth, if you've read about the people of Corinth, you know a few things. They have serious issues amongst themselves. They have argumentations. They have a lot of sexual sins in their midst. They're very intellectual. They like to debate wisdom and knowledge and understanding. They have problems in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 with elevating what they called, well, they didn't call it celebrities, but we look at it and it's celebrities. They had one pastor that everybody liked, and they have another guy that everybody liked, and one is with one, and the rest is with the rest. And it had separated the group and created tension. And this goes on today. This is happening today. Churches today have more problems with each other than they have unity together to save the lost in their cities. And this is a travesty, because we're not of the earth. The finishing of that verse is the second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. As those are of the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And then 49, and as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. We have an earthly existence. Obviously, we're wearing a particular type of body that gives us an earthly existence. But we have a heavenly reality waiting for us. And Paul is making it very clear that resurrection isn't for a future moment. Resurrection changes your life now so you can be part of bringing the will of God to the earth, establishing the very same life that Jesus established. And how many of you out there heard that growing up?
We didn't hear that growing up.
I didn't hear that.
I think there was probably a remnant, maybe, but.
So what
hidden?
What changed? What changed? For Paul, everything changed when resurrection became a reality. And we look at Peter, and Peter is on the lake, like we were talking about in John 21, and he had a particular life. And he was struggling with the transition. Jesus had called him and told him, you have a different life now. I'm going to make you a fisher of men. Your name is not going to be this anymore. It's going to be Peter. I've reestablished you. And I've rebuilt you, and you're going to become something different. You're not going to live your own life anymore. You're not there to live your own. I called you. You're mine now. You're part of my movement, and that's why you're with me. And I really believe we're having a struggle with this. It's a word that Pastor used tonight, regeneration, or even today, transformation. Do we understand that our life used to be something, but now it's something completely different? Our life has been radically changed. This group of the Corinthians, they really need to understand that radical change, because they're still living as if they're in the earthly body. Now, this is the problem that I have with our culture. I came out of this particular line of thinking, is this. Well, Jesus died for my sins, and therefore grace is standing there for when I mess up, and I don't have to worry about messing up, so therefore I don't have to worry about living in my flesh, because there's grace standing there. And I can always approach God and ask for more grace, and he'll give it to me, because the thinking was that grace was very similar to mercy. I can still walk in my natural man and do the things of the natural man, but I have grace there to let me do spiritual things when I decide I'm going to be spiritual.
Yeah, that's better.
This frame of reference, this type of thinking, comes from the Gnostics. And the Gnostics were in operation in the first century, and they had this idea. They were philosophers. They were Greek philosophers, and they moved in amidst a lot of these little towns that Paul and Peter and John were ministering to.
Yes.
And it was a very radical theology. What they thought is that there is no way the living holy God would ever violate himself by coming to the earth. So whoever Jesus was, he was not God, because God could not be defiled in his perfection by the imperfection and defilement of the human body being on a defiled planet. And so what they said was, we have two lives. We have the life that we want to live in the spiritual realm. Yes, we're this and this. We're the children of God, and yeah, we pray and we study the scriptures, but because there's a separation, there's this dual program of life. When I'm done with that and I have my urges, I go meet my urges and I do whatever I want to do in my natural existence.
Yes. And that's anomianism, which is lawlessness.
Basically,
they were teaching that lawlessness is okay, and God's okay with that.
But here's what's wrong with that. He's saying in 1 Corinthians, you used to be of the earth.
Yes.
And now you're not. Well, you say, well, I've got a body still. Yeah, you do. You absolutely still have a body if you're still alive.
The body is not the old man.
The body is not the old man. The soul, spirit, mind, and heart is where the old man is, and how he functions in this life.
Yep.
That's what's being transformed.
Yeah.
What do you do in your tabernacle? How do you live in your tabernacle now that you know Jesus?
Now we live in our tabernacle. We live spiritually in our tabernacle, and God's word is the truth. And when it comes to what we've been taught in this world versus what God's word says, God's word is true and this world is now false, no matter what our five senses tell us.
And why is that?
Because Jesus has come and he's showed us the truth. He's demonstrated in all ways that everything the scripture said is the truth, and he overcame death by going in suffering to demonstrate his love for us, to lay his life down for us. And as the scripture said he would, on the third day, he's raised from the dead and done before witnesses. And so everybody knows that Jesus Christ is alive and resurrected, a new man, victoriously. And it's demonstrated that the blood of his sacrifice was accepted to atone for our sins. And that him going to the cross is representative of us going to the cross. He did it substitutionally for us because there was a debt that was to be paid for Adam's sin. The first man who's earthy is after Adam, one who was the first man. And now that Jesus came and dealt with him and put him away, he's now a new man, the Lord, and the life for us to live in the vessel now is the new man's life that's been brought in.
That's the only life there is. In Jesus, truly in Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ came, it doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, what country you come from, he is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other definition of life but Jesus, because this is what time does to us. is we don't see that everything has already been done.
Yep.
Every single person that ever lived or is going to live has already lived and died in Jesus.
Yes.
And therefore, if we're already dead, if we've already been judged, and now the advocate has brought the blood to the Father, everyone in their own time gets to have the access of resurrection.
Yes.
So, if you have resurrection, for Paul is looking at that resurrection, and he's saying at that moment, and then we go to Acts chapter 2, I see Joel come in, and Joel's prophecy about the Spirit being poured out on all flesh has now come to pass. The resurrection, the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. If I go look at John the Baptist, he was saying there's one coming who will baptize you in water, but also baptize you with the Spirit and fire. So there was something fresh coming. There was something brand new coming. And we're not looking at the freshness, because most of us have been taught that salvation had to do with getting out of hell and not about a transformed life.
And we focused on the word salvation instead of the new birth.
No doubt. Absolutely. Because there's very little. And here's how we know that this is the case. The operation of discipleship has lost all of its true definition. Discipleship in the modern age is a pale comparison to what Jesus was doing with his disciples. It was very Jewish. It was very biblical. It was very Hebraic. And it was very Israelite. And as soon as the church started drifting away from that, they lost that community understanding of discipleship. Discipleship for the Israelite was day in and day out, constant training and instruction. Constant. Because that's the only way true instruction really takes place. And especially, I mean, we can understand it for a child, because a parent has a child and the child knows nothing.
Yes.
But listen, when Jesus says to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, you need to be born again, how many believers really decide, okay, I just met Jesus, I don't know anything, and I need to be completely retrained. I've just stepped into a brand new world. I'm living in the same body, but I've stepped into a world I have no knowledge of, no understanding of, and the first thing I need, now that I understand that I'm saved, is I need to go into a training process.
Yes. I think another word we need to focus on in explaining this is translation, because the Bible declares to us that it is a translation. We've been translated. And so even though our bodies are on earth, our life is no longer on earth. Our life is now in heaven.
That's what 1 Corinthians is saying.
So now we're not citizens of the earth anymore to be beholden to the rudiments of this world, but now we're citizens of heaven, beholden to the requirements of heaven that the Lord requires of us.
Oh, it's at the top of the hour, about a minute away from the end of Blog Talk Radio. Just want to say thank you if you're listening on Blog Talk for joining us. Our next program is 11:30 Thursday night, same place. So if you're going to join us on www.olivebranchonline.org, you can shift over there. We will continue for another half an hour. Our phone number on that program channel is 631-533-4099. That's 631-533-4099. And we'll just say thank you.